Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. We're down here on the beach. It's freezing cold. It's early morning. There's a tractor trying to push all the sand back to the ocean where it came from. It's a very, very flat tide and it's coming in. So every now and again, I've got to do a sprint to get away from the incoming water. Yes, I'm wearing shoes. Walker has surrendered. The pain in the feet from the cold sand was too much. I'm wearing a pair of old sand shoes. Keep the tootsies warm, so I stopped complaining about it. Today's subject, I think, is really quite fascinating. Let me begin with a story. Not a pleasant one, but it's fun. So, I had a partner in my life a long time ago. Her residence was pretty much anywhere in the world where someone would house her. She was a writer. We traveled extensively together throughout the world. She wrote books about different topics. And anyway, it all ended nicely. We're good friends. And one day I was flying through Singapore years after we parted, and we had a little dalliance. Is that what it's called? I think that might not be the right word, but you know, in Aussie talk, it's a quick shag. But anyway, we had that. And a year or so later, she was contacting me and said, "I've written a book, been published. It's got something. I can't remember, my Singapore lover or my Singapore lover." Yeah, I think something like that. Anyway, she said, "You're in it." I went, "Oh, great, great. Love to be in people's books." She said, "I changed your name, but you're in it." So she sent me a copy and I read it three times and I couldn't find me. It was all about her and this very wealthy guy and having an affair, and he was married and she wasn't. And blah-de blah-de blah, and he was really wealthy and she wasn't, and they lived happily ever after until they didn't. And I couldn't find me in the book. I read it again and again. It wasn't a very thick book, but I read it again and again. But then, in one of the small chapters getting near the end of the book, there was this guy, the worst shag I've ever had. and I went, "No, it can't be." And then I read a little bit more the finer details of the experience and I went, "Oh gosh, that's me. Our Singapore night, our quick fling, got in the book as the worst shag she'd ever had." And I've got to confess, it was for me too. So that brings me to today's topic. This is a great segue. Why do we do things to ourselves that are not good? Why would I fly through Singapore and pick up with somebody I'd very much decided not to spend any of my personal time with anymore? And have a quickie. Why do we do this? Why do we drink too much? Why do we eat the wrong things sometimes? Why do we stay up late when we know we should get to bed and have a full Aura Ring score in the morning? Why we do these things? Why do we do bad things to ourselves? It's an extraordinary question, because on paper, we don't. On paper, if it all adds up, we go, "Oh no, I don't do extraordinarily bad things to myself." But if you take anybody in the world, and look behind the curtain, everybody does things to themselves they know are not healthy, such as my Singapore fling, and the many other things that I have done and do, that are not necessarily good. then we walk around being either guilty about it or trying to rationalize that it was okay to drink too much last night or eat too much meat or skip a training session or do something that we know is going to have kickback. I get this all the time when I buy bike gear. Bike gear, I know, look, you're listening to this, I know you don't have to be a bike rider to listen to this podcast, and bike riding's not the topic. The topic is doing bad stuff to ourselves. But I do it when I buy bike gear. Sometimes I go online and it's a deal too good to be true. Last year I went online and Rafa had this incredible sale, and it's extraordinary equipment. And I looked it up and there it was, a rain jacket that, oh, I thought, man, that's cheap. It's less than half the price. So I bought it. It's the most ugly green bike riding jacket you'll ever see in your entire life. And one thing about it that you can't tell me, you can't differentiate me from the trees. Last Saturday I went for a bike ride. 5 times I had to veer in order not to be killed. The car's just, I don't know, can't see it. And now I know why it was half price. Is my life worth saving $100? I mean, a couple of bottles or a bottle of vodka cost 70. Why would we do this to ourselves? Why would we Somewhere deep inside the subconscious brain, there is a story. A story. It was built up, that story was built up in the first 4 years of our lives. Now, I know if you're listening to this, you're not into child psychology and all this sort of stuff, so, and neither am I. But there's a universal law. And that universal law is there's balance to everything. And when a person tells you how ambitious they are to achieve or do something or build something, you know that unless they've done a massive amount of work, the opposite voice, the fear of the opposite, lives deep in their core, deep down, buried beneath tons of rubble. But it sings. And sometimes, under very, very strange circumstances, that voice gets heard. And we do things that are not healthy for ourselves. The fear of the opposite. The fear of failing, the fear of being dumped, the fear of being a loser, the fear of a marriage breaking up, the fear of not being a great guy or a great woman, or the fear of being sick, or the fear of dying, or the fear of something, sits there like the sword of Damocles, waiting to find itself a channel. And for all the hard work, sometimes for all the hard work we put in to being successful, being a great person, be a great dad, be a great mum, be a great friend, be a great person, be a great health, that voice is sitting there mumbling and grumbling, causing us to get sick, causing us to get sad, causing us to forget, causing us to forget the universal principles of balance and growth and harmony and discipline and causes us to forget. And all it needs is a tiny crack to reappear, that voice. With the morning self-talk, what we're trying to do at a time between sleeping and being awake is have a conversation with that voice and say, yeah, well, look, I know you might be frightened, but you know, here's another way to look at it. Here's another way to think about it and retrain that voice. It's totally trainable. It's not permanently embedded. It is instrumental in determining our values. So at some core level, it's reflected in our values. But at another level, how it expresses itself and talks us into doing things that aren't healthy, that can be changed and fixed and sorted out. When I work with people who, especially in First Nation, do things that are completely against their best interest, I'm just staring now at a woman in the smallest bikini. I'm standing here in a down jacket. My hands are blue, frozen. I've got shoes on. There's people walking around shivering. She's just standing in a swimsuit talking to a friend. I gotta say, she must be from Iceland or somewhere. It's very important. It's very important. It's very important to have a grip on the things we don't do healthy to ourselves. The self-talk that's not healthy. Ah, you're a loser. Ah, you're not a good enough. Ah, the way we perceive things when we look at a situation. It's very interesting because we've got a couple of kids in the house. My beautiful little puppies from Jessica. They sort of call me dad number two. And their stepfather, the way it is. And their opinion of me matters where it shouldn't. I really like being liked by kids. And it actually is a test in a way, because it really can influence how happy I am. Which is quite funny, a six-year-old could do that, where an adult can't. I don't need their approval, that's for sure. But I do want them to have a smile on their face. And if I do something that takes that away, I feel shit. That's something that I know is not healthy, because it's got some form of a reflection back into some little gremlin in the wood pile that I'm carrying around with me. So the topic here is, why do we do things that aren't good for us? And if we do them twice, we need to take stock, because that inner voice expresses itself through some of the habits we have which are not healthy. And if we allow the habit to be there, we're allowing the voice to be there. And if we're allowing the voice to be there, it will eventually win. The inner voice will eventually cause itself. That person in the bikini I was talking about before has gone for a swim. Oh, so cool. I'm so respectful. I'm here in my down jacket. So if you have a bad habit, and if you keep allowing that bad habit to exist, you're allowing the inner voice that controls that habit to exist, and you're giving permission to a sabotage. Now, it's not just the bad habit that you're giving the permission to, you're giving permission to the voice. And I don't think the habit is as important as the voice. If you're drinking too much or eating too much or feeling sad too often or you're feeling needy, that's the habit. That's sort of understandable, the habit. But the voice behind it is where you need to go. And that's the work you need to do, because it will affect the things you don't want to sabotage, the things you do want to build in your life, the things you do want to achieve at work. And I think that is where that inner voice needs to be on your team, not fighting against you. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.